Good afternoon, everybody. I'm very excited to tell you about how we unify concurrency control and consensus for fault-tolerant transactions with fast commits, even under many conflicts. So first, let's see how the state-of-the-art technique builds a transactional system. In the beginning, you have one machine to hold all the data. To tolerate both single machine failure and data center crash, you geo-replicate the data to multiple data centers. And to guarantee consistency, you run a consensus protocol such as Paxos to synchronize the replicas. Because data keeps growing, this one shard is not enough. Then you need to partition the data into multiple shards and keep increasing the number of shards in the system for scalability. And in order to modify data consistently across shards, you then need layer distributed transaction protocol, such as two-phase commit. Well, this approach works, but it has two limitations. And the first limitation is this layered design incurs multiple wide area round trips. For example, suppose this client is not in the same data center as the Paxos leader for each shard. The client first needs to send one wide error message to the leader of each shard. And then each shard will do the replication separately, which will incur at least another wide error round trip before returning to the client. So in total, this layered design costs at least two wide error round trips. In this geo-replication setup, because each message round trips can cost more than 100 milliseconds, these extra round trips in layered design lead to high latency in the system. And the second limitation is that conflicts cause aborts. For example, here we have two transactions, blue and green, accessing the same two shards. Suppose blue transaction arrives earlier than the green transaction on the first shard. But on the second shard, the green transaction arrives before the blue transaction. With traditional concurrency control, one or both of the transactions need to abort and then retry later. This abort and retry will not only increase latency, but also decrease the system throughput because it wastes a lot of system resources. Our goal is to overcome these two limitations. We want to achieve fewer wide area round trips and to commit when there are conflicts. Passworks have addressed one, but not both of the limitations. For example, Kelvin can commit under conflicts, but incurs multiple wide area round trips. Taper in SSP last year can commit in one wide area round trip, but aborts under conflicts. You see, there is a hole. And our system, Genus, is the first system that addresses both limitations. So how is Genus able to do this? First, I will explain how Genus avoids aborts. Well, aborts occur when different servers execute conflicting transactions in different order. We can avoid aborts due to conflicts by establishing a consistent order before execution. So this is possible for transactions that have fixed read-write sets that are known prior to execution. Unfortunately, many transaction workloads fall into this category. In order to establish order beforehand, Genus requires every transaction to be structured as a set of stored procedure pieces. Since the transactions have static read-write sets, we know how the pieces conflict without having to execute them. It will be easy to order the conflicting pieces on a single machine, but it will become a centralized bottleneck. So the challenge is, how can we order the conflicting pieces in a distributed fashion? If we do this in a distributed way, each server may have a different ordering for these two transactions. And the key to solve that is to allow reordering and make each server execute in the same order. Next, I will explain how Genus commits in one wide error round trip. The insight is that both concurrency control and consensus need to establish a consistent ordering, and the same ordering works for both. If we have a layered design, we establish the ordering twice, one at a time for each layer. For example, here we have two transactions conflicting on A and B. An inconsistent ordering can occur when pieces of the transaction arrive at different shards in different order. So traditional concurrency control for transactions handles this. An inconsistent ordering can also occur when pieces of the transactions arrive at different replicas of the same shard in a different order. Traditional consensus protocols for replication handles this. This example highlights our key insight. If we can do distributed ordering, we can do it together for transaction and replication. This leads to a single wide error round trip in the best case. So the challenge here is how to ensure servers agree on consistent ordering when servers and coordinators can fail. With these two insights, let's have an overview of how Genus works. Each transaction in Genus begins with a pre-accept phase. The pre-accept phase of a transaction is about dispatching all its pieces to corresponding servers to set up and collect the provision order without actually executing these pieces. If there are any conflicts, they will be seen in this phase. If there are no conflicting transactions, the transaction can directly go into the commit phase. And we will use the information just collected to establish a consistent execution order. And each server will execute its pieces following this order. If there are conflicts, however, the transaction needs another phase called accept phase to persist the dependencies through possible failure recoveries and then can go into commit phase. Next, let's look at two concrete examples how this works. In the first example, there are no conflicts. So in the first phase, the client dispatches its pieces to each server, and each server will return the dependencies of the transaction based on its arrival order. After the client collects all the replies, it will see there are no conflicts, and it directly goes to the commit phase. The client sends the commit message to all servers. When the servers in the local area receive the commit request, they will execute their pieces and return results to the client. Once the client gets results from each shard, the transaction is successfully finished. And because the commit and execute only cost a local round trip on the critical path, so in this case, the transaction only needs one wide area round trip to commit. In this second example, we have two transactions, blue and green, that conflict. Okay, first, in the pre-accept phase, the blue transaction sends its request to shards in California and sees no conflicts. Meanwhile, the green transaction sends its request to shards in New York. Later, when the request of the blue transaction arrives in New York, they will pick up a dependency that green transaction is before the blue. After that, after the client for blue transaction collects all the replies, it will see that each shard has different dependencies, and this indicates there is a conflict. In this case, it will aggregate these dependencies and replicate them to all servers in the accept phase. After it receives the reply from all servers, it continues to the commit phase. Meanwhile, the same thing is also happening for the green transaction. When its requests arrive in California, they pick up a dependency that say the blue transaction precedes the green. The client again recognizes there is a conflict, aggregates all dependencies, and then replicates them through the accept phase before it goes to commit. So in the accept phase, when clients replicating dependencies, what happens on the server is that each server will see the dependencies that were formed on other servers and will merge these dependencies with their local dependencies. After that, each server will see a cycle that represents an interleaving that needs to be reordered. In the commit phase, Each server will deterministically order this cycle using the unique ID of each transaction. And every server executes the transactions in a consistent order, green before blue. Now, I will quickly summarize our design. When there are no conflicts, Genius can commit transactions with only one wide error round trip because the execution is only on path in the local area. When there are conflicts, Genius needs an extra round trip to replicate dependencies, and it can commit transactions in two wide area round trips. And of course, we had to skip many details in this talk. For example, the full details of execution protocols, different quorum sizes, behavior under server coordinator failures, and how we can extend Genius to support dynamic read and write sets. For all these details, please refer to our paper or come ask me at the poster session later. And now we know how Genius works. Let's see how well it performs. In the evaluation part, we have two major questions. First is, how does Genius behave in a realistic workload with many conflicts? And second, what is the overhead of Genius with minor conflicts? To answer these questions, we implemented Genius as well as a few comparisons in the same prototype system. The comparisons include a conventional approach, two-phase locking on top of Paxos, and a state-of-the-art approach, Taper, which is the most recent related work in the field. All our tests are conducted on EC2, and our source code can be obtained from GitHub. So, to understand throughput and our conflicts, we tested the system with the TPCC benchmark. In this test, we have six shards. Each shard has three replicas in different data centers. The x-axis shows the number of clients. As the number of clients increases, this increases the frequency of conflicts. The y-axis is throughput, measured as the number of new order transactions per second. This is the standard throughput metric for TPCC, and is proportional to the overall throughput. Both the x-axis and y-axis are in log scale. So from the result, we can see that all protocols achieve similar throughput with only a few clients, because there are few conflicts, and because the system is not saturated, so throughput increases with the number of clients. However, as the number of clients continue to increase, the throughput of the baseline protocols start dropping. Taper's throughput drops because of aborts caused by conflicts at different shards and conflicts at replicas within shards. Two-phase locking over Paxos aborts less often because leaders eliminate conflicts at replicas, though conflicts at shards still cause aborts. In contrast, Genius has no aborts. Therefore, its throughput can continue to rise with the number of clients until it reaches the saturation point. And here is the latency graph for the same experiment. The y-axis shows 90% latency in milliseconds. When there are few conflicts, two-phase locking on top of Paxos needs two wide area round trips due to the layered design. Both Genius and Taper can commit in only one wide area round trip. As conflicts increase, the latency for both Taper and two-phase locking increases due to the retries after aborts. The latency for Genius is much better because it does not suffer from aborts. Nevertheless, Genius requires an additional round trip for the accept phase for a total of two wide area round trips for commit. So the overall latency for Genius includes these two round trips plus additional time required for execution, which I didn't have time to cover in this talk. So in conclusion, for contended workloads, Genius has a much better performance for both throughput and latency. Genius's good performance under conflicts comes at a small cost, which we demonstrate with this micro benchmark. So in this micro benchmark, each transaction modifies three data items in three shards. Each shard has three replicas, all within a single data center. The items accessed by each transaction follows a ZIPF distribution. The x-axis shows the ZIPF coefficient, and a higher coefficient corresponds to higher conflicts. The y-axis is throughput, measured by committed transactions per second. In this experiment, unlike the previous TPCC experiment, there are always a sufficient number of clients to saturate each system. So when there are very few conflicts, Genesis throughput is 13% lower than that of Taper. This is due to the overhead of dependency tracking. As conflicts increase, Taper's throughput drops due to the overhead from retrying transaction after they abort. The throughput genus also drops due to the overhead from the accept phase and increased dependency tracking. However, genus has higher throughput than Taper when there are conflicts because it avoids aborts. Before I conclude, I would like to acknowledge some related work. Among the systems that do both transaction and replication, because we target at strict serializability, it distinguishes us from the systems that offers weaker semantics, such as COPS, EIGER, and MDCC. For systems that also provide strict serializability, Spanner and Colvin use a layered approach that incurs multiple wide error round trips. Taper and the replicated commits both can achieve low latency when there are no conflicts, but do not perform well under conflicts because they abort and retry. In comparison, Genus combines the layers and uses decentralized dependency tracking to commit in one wide error round trip in the best case, and to continue to commit under conflicts. Genus uses decentralized dependency tracking is inspired by ePaxos and Rococo. ePaxos used decentralized dependency tracking for low latency consensus, but did not consider concurrency control for transactions across shards. Rococo used decentralized dependency tracking for concurrency control that commits under conflicts, but it didn't consider replication. Genus is distinguished from these systems by its combination of concurrency control and consensus. So in conclusion, the goal of Genus was to address two limitations in traditional architecture, the layering transaction protocol on top of replication protocol. The first limitation was that the layering lead to multiple wide error round trips, even in the best case. The second limitation was that the conflicts cause aborts that increase latency and decrease throughput. And Genus's insight is that the ordering requirements of these two layers are similar and can be combined. Genus exploits this insight with a design that uses decentralized dependency tracking to establish a single ordering for both concurrency control and consensus. This enables Genus to commit in a single wide error round trip in the best case when there are no conflicts. It also enables Genus to continue to commit only with two wide error round trips when there are conflicts. And our evaluation of Genus demonstrates that it has small throughput overhead when there are no conflicts, that achieves low latency and good throughput even when there are many conflicts. Thank you all for listening. I'm ready to answer questions.
We have time for a quick question if you've got it. And while they're getting ready, why did you name it Genus?
It's Gerald from SharMajor, from Facebook, sorry. My question is about, can you give more detail about when conflicts are detected, how the servers in different regions can figure out the order correctly? Do you run another pass of Paxos to reach some consensus, or they can independently figure out the order?
So I'm a little bit confused about the question. Do you mind to
rephrase it? So there are two cases. One case is there are no conflict.
Sure.
Second case is there a conflict. Then server side, you show servers can figure out the order, the right order, independently. How do you figure it out? So each message has a sequence ID. You can have a total order for the update from different client, or how do you figure out the order when there are conflicts?
Well, I'm not sure I get the question, but I will try to answer. So I, you know, so the message does not have order ID. Mm-hmm. And servers can track dependency because the server can identify, you know, two transactions conflict or not, because, you know, the transaction model, it, you know, basically you have a fixed read-write set, so you can know that these two transaction conflict even before execution because they access the same key. So another way for you to think about this is, so first the server tracks this dependency and gives back to client. Another way you can think of this is that the client needs to trigger another phase to replicate this dependency, similar to Paxos. You know, you replicate this dependency through Paxos or ePaxos. But you know, this is just, you know, analogies. It's different in reality. So, yeah, I don't know whether that answers your question. I hope so.
We can follow up offline.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Might as well. It's your fault we're not drinking, though.
Hi, Mark Shapiro, INRIA. Two-phase commit is there to detect conflicts, but it's also there to detect failures. So do you assume there are no failures?
We don't detect failures. Our model is that if you have a number of undetectable failures, then the protocols will still proceed even with the existence of those failures. If you can detect failures, actually, you don't really need this protocol because you can always recover from the, because you have a, you know, global knowledge which one has failed, you can just eliminate from the system. So the protocol is really about when you cannot, when you send a message to someone don't respond, but you don't know whether that's failed or not. Maybe it's still running. Maybe there is a complex network partition that node can communicate to other nodes, but just cannot communicate with the coordinator. So that is our assumption on failures. Okay.
Thank you very much.